Welcome, everybody. There we go, some more videos coming on. I was just holding a little candle up. When we meet in our Rocksteady Life calls, which is twice a month, as a community, I do my best to light a candle each time. And the candles are really symbolic and represent that if we could all meet in person and sit around a campfire and share our stories and be present with each other, that's exactly what we would be doing. But thanks to technology and our incredibly global and diverse community, we light candles. So feel free if you have a candle nearby to go ahead and light that. It's a really beautiful way to reconnect with our ancient roots, our humanity, and I think to what really matters, which is connection. So it's just starting to clock on over to 7 a.m. my time, Melbourne. It's a little bit tricky for me to keep up with the entire thread. I don't know if we have many Australians here today. Let me take a look. Yes, there's at least. So there's some Aussies who are up early, and I know it might be the evening for those of you in the Northern Hemisphere. Great. Welcome. Yeah. So what we do in our Rocksteady calls generally is we support each other. We learn. We hear from each other if people feel that they would like to bring questions, share their challenges. We really practice walking the walk. And if I rewind it right back to start with today. I'd love to talk a little bit about neuroplasticity and what it is. And if you haven't seen the masterclass or if you haven't seen it recently, go ahead and watch the masterclass again. It's available freely. It's a really good resource. I'd like to talk about persistent sensations versus chronic symptoms, a little bit of a language shift. And I'd like to talk about the elusive concept of healing, like what is healing, right? I'll introduce myself briefly. We've got some email questions which are quite rich, and I'll do my best to answer those. And throughout the day, there could be opportunities for you to dive into the chat box and potentially speak live. And actually, Victoria, I can see you're here. If there are any Rocksteady members who feel like you would like to speak on how you use the Rocksteady program, how it's impacted you, what it means for you in terms of your life. And I say that because I built the program for chronic vertigo and tinnitus symptoms. I had no idea I was building a program that was for humans to live a beautiful life. It's so much more than symptoms, but that's often where we start. That's where I started. That's where most of us start. And we come into this process realizing this is a whole new way of life. It's a whole new way of being in my body. It's a whole new way actually of engaging with the world. So if there are any Rocksteady members who would like to speak, I think that could be really valuable too. So, shall we start? Why don't we all start by placing our hands on our body anywhere that feels comforting? So, if some of you might want to hold your head, some of you may like to pop your hand on your heart, your belly, your legs, namaste, whatever feels comforting for you. Stick your arms, hands under your armpits. We're all at different times of the day, so different things may feel nourishing and comforting. So I just want to invite you to close your eyes if you feel safe. You can always stare at your knees or stare at a wall if you want to keep your eyes open. That's fine. You choose what feels comforting for you. So choose the eye position, open or closed. Choose the hand position. And to start with, we might all take six breaths. And in those six breaths, I want you to really notice that your body is breathing for you, that you don't have to do the breathing. Really receive the nourishment of the breath. In its most literal sense, really notice and receive the oxygenation, the oxygen that is moving into your cellular body, head to toe. Trillions and trillions of cells. And notice the simple beauty that this medicinal process of breathing is happening for you, through you. That you don't have to micromanage it, organize it, arrange it, deepen it, moderate it. You can allow the breath to move at the rhythm of your body. It's automated, natural, gentle. Take a moment to just notice yourself and your relationship to your breath today. It'll change all the time. And if you'd like to stay there, stay there, keeping your eyes closed and listening. If you want to open your eyes and come back to your computer screen and join the meeting, do that. But really doing and following what feels nourishing for you. And for those of you who are choosing to open your eyes and be present with our group here today, visually, I invite you throughout today's session to really notice where you want to place your hands in terms of comfort. And for some of you listening, that could be a really new inquiry. So just noticing where feels grounding for you, where feels supportive for you. How can you literally, physically hold yourself or touch yourself in ways that allows you to feel centered, connected, supported, and physically present. So that's actually a neuroplasticity skill right there, is understanding, well, how do I want to use my hands? There's a lot of nerve endings in the hands. And whatever we touch sends signals up to the brain. And a lot of our touch signals are about locating safety and comfort. So when we bring our awareness to some of those signals, we enhance those areas of the brain that are firing messages around being safe and being comforted. And you might think, Joey, why does that matter? Well, essentially, neuroplasticity is our body's ability to change its neural synapses and connections. When we have error signals giving us repeating symptom messages, we need new maps. The current map feels not quite right, feels uncomfortable, is debilitating. So we want to capitalize on this very natural capacity for the body to reorganize itself and reshape its neural maps. That process is inhibited by chronic stress, anxiety, doubt, and disconnection to the feeling body. So when we come back in and gently redirect our attention back into ourselves, when we feel through the proprioceptive touch signals of the body, when we allow that neural data to go up into the brain and the brain organizes, okay, I'm noticing Joey's safe right now and she's feeling comforted. She's comforting herself. The brain shifts out of fight, flight, freeze, fawn, which is our protection and defense strategies. And it starts to shift into neuroplasticity mode, where it actively problem solves for new neural maps that feel centered, grounded, connected, and clear. And if we think about being highly symptomatic, so I've had both bothersome and anxiety-provoking tinnitus and vertigo. I, many years ago now, had recurrent BPPV and vestibular migraine. So I don't have any symptoms anymore, but I get it. I've been there. In that time, I would describe myself as having a lot of self-doubt, a lot of underlying anxiety. Even when I thought I was okay, I had underlying anxiety. And I had like brain fog and a lack of clarity, and I was constantly chasing fatigue. It's like I just couldn't get on top of the fatigue. And that makes a lot of sense neurologically because the organization of my neural maps was out. So every single thing I had to do in daily life, whether it was wake up, clean my teeth, get on my bicycle and ride to work, everything took more neurological effort because there wasn't as much beautiful, streamlined, automated body posture, movement, sensing reflexes and neural maps. So when, for whatever reason, when we develop tinnitus, vertigo, and dizziness, the neural messages, you could think of them as like traffic jams. The superhighways are no longer effective. They're possibly permanently damaged. So some of you, and you pop in the chat box if you wish, some of you may have permanent nerve damage to certain areas. So you know for sure that some of your inner ear messages are simply not traveling through those nerve bundles. And the good news is we have billions of neurons. We have heaps of redundant, sleepy, dormant, available neurons. And so when the body comes across this broken down highway, so the permanent nerve damage, with time, and it can take as little as 6 weeks, the body very cleverly starts navigating adjacent neural bundles. So it finds a different way to send the message. So if you come back to me having my vestibular migraine and tinnitus, and I'm stressed and I'm anxious and I'm not very well supported, I'm being told at university I'm studying vestibular audiology, and I'm being told there's nothing you can do about tinnitus, live with it, bad luck. And same goes for unusual forms of vertigo. Those messages in my brain were not traveling efficiently and elegantly head to toe. So my balance messages and my auditory messages had traffic jams. And on top of that, I was doubting myself. I was anxious. I was worried. And I was kind of chasing life. There was this feeling of never arriving anywhere. So my brain and my body didn't have the recuperation time to really truly undergo its neuroplasticity processes. So the huge turning point for me was sort of trying everything, from regular medical doctors and neurologists. And I mean, I had all my colleagues who were elite at what they were doing. So physio, psychology, psychiatry, ENT, neurology. I understood academically the scenario. Then I thought, okay, I'll try a kinesiologist, I'll try spirituality, I'll try yoga, mindfulness, and all of that was actually my special interest too. But at that point in my life, I had 15 years yoga practice. And excuse me, a really dedicated practice. So I was, doing 10-minute headstands every day and this and that. But I still felt dizzy. So the neuroplasticity wasn't kicking in. I ate well, I slept well. And I think in hindsight now, I didn't realize I was neurodivergent. So I think on a daily basis, I had too much sensory flooding. I had too much input coming into my brain for processing and organizing. And I didn't have the skills or tools yet on how to moderate sensory input for my personal brain and body. We can talk about that on today's call. So, in other words, my brain was juggling too many balls every day. And I didn't have the community. I didn't have the belonging. I didn't really have people who believed me. So I was in this personal struggle, going to work, pushing through, pretending, faking. And my brain was really struggling. It was juggling too much. It was hiding too many emotions. And I was struggling to find the authenticity to really feel through what I had to feel through. So it got to the point where I realized no one out there could understand me or fix me. And I started really redirecting my attention inwards and using my neuroscience background, my yoga background, my vestibular audiology background to experiment with these neural maps. And sure enough, I noticed the more I entered the space of non-doing, which meant I actively created time for pause in my day. So I actively stopped receiving inputs. I would pause and I would allow my body to go into its biological processes and organize itself. I would create time for pause every day. I started to advocate for myself better. I started to understand how my brain and body would regulate itself in terms of my nervous system. When did I need to downregulate, calm, soothe, center, seek comfort? I learned how to capitalize on my proprioceptive system for those of you with vestibular conditions. Balance comes not just from the ears and the inner ear organ, the vestibular organ. It also comes from gathering visual input through the eyes and through touch and location input through our proprioceptive system, which is mapped throughout our entire body, head to toe. So, for those of you, and it's very, very rare, but for those of you who may have absolutely zero vestibular function because you've got two nerve bundles completely severed, which is most likely to happen through surgery, not through natural causes. But in that unlikely scenario, for balance, you'd be using your proprioceptive system in your touch body and your eyes. And you capitalize on really fine-tuning all of those super highways to make them elegant and efficient. And that elegance and efficiency process is neuroplasticity. If we wake up every day worried, freaking out, anxious, doubting ourselves, lonely, isolated, and not authentic, we just keep being stuck in the same inefficient symptomatic patterns. And that's nobody's fault. That's exactly where I was, and that's exactly where I started. So, part of the Rocksteady community is shifting into a place where everybody is building new maps. Everybody is learning how to be authentic. How to redirect their attention inwards to sense and feel what is going on, what's actually going on. There's no more pushing, pretending, faking through. You come into a community where you're believed, you're held, you're supported, your vulnerability is incredibly welcome. And as we enter a communal space, remembering that humans are social species, as we enter a community space, where we can actually be real, where people actually believe us, and when the sky doesn't fall apart and we recognize, oh my God, I don't have to fake it and I belong here, something in the brain changes and we collect more and more safety data. So let me just back up a little bit. As human beings, we're always looking for safety or danger. That makes sense. So, we're looking for safety and danger signals within our body because if we do have a medical condition, we want the body to give us that interoception signal and that says, Joey, go to the doctor, there's something not right, right? So, we're always looking for safety and danger signals in our body. And we're always looking for safety and danger signals outside of our body. Is there a tiger? Is there violence? Is there something that's life-threatening? In the weather, right? We're constantly navigating that. If we happen to be collecting more danger signals more often, then we keep caught in those protect, defense, fight, flight, freeze, fawn patterns, and our neuroplasticity pauses or delays or is inhibited. So, a huge part of the Rocksteady community and the Rocksteady modules and the Rocksteady program is getting very sophisticated and nuanced with how you collect more safety data. You want to collect more safety data within your body because you control that piece a lot. So that's where you're getting your control back and getting your power back. So we want to be able to really disengage false alarms, such as hearing tinnitus could get put the brain into threat mode. It's like, oh my God, tinnitus, what's going on? I hate this. Can't someone explain it to me? Am I going to die? Is this life-threatening? We want to disengage that story and we want to really welcome the tinnitus sounds in with welcome presence, but not prioritize on it because we may have tinnitus sound, but we've also got our entire bodily experience. We've got all of our hopes and dreams. We've got so much more of this whole person experience And realistically, the tinnitus sounds are one millionth of who we are. So we don't have to overly prioritize one neural signal. We can start to look for other safety signals to collect more safety data that our body is authentically firing. So we're looking for true neural signals that are registered as safe. And then we learn to do the same in the outer world to collect more outer world safety signals. So the Rocksteady community is a very kind, non-judgmental, neurodiverse, highly diverse community in general, actually, as far as all minorities go and people who identify in various ways. It's a place where all of you is welcome and you're getting that tribal external feeling of safety from the outer world. And for some of us, particularly those who may identify with intersectional minority or neurodivergence and ways that we may feel we've had to hide pretty much everywhere we go, we've had to fake it or push through because our differences feel like a threat or don't feel welcome. This can be a very, very potent community for unmasking, for being vulnerable, for being real, and essentially allowing the brain to finally relax, to finally feel seen, heard, held, understood. So this is the full mental, emotional, spiritual aspect that directly feeds the physical symptoms. They're all interconnected. You can't pull apart the mental, emotional, spiritual from the physical symptoms. I might pause there and take a breath. Can you give me some thumbs up if you're on video, if this is making sense? Is there anything you really want me to clarify? Is there anything you'd like me to speak more on? I have got heaps of submitted questions. Thank you for the thumbs up, everyone. Maybe I should just say right from the outset that tinnitus is reversible. It can completely dissolve to the point that you don't notice it anymore. And tinnitus body sounds are also super welcome to come and go in daily life. They're harmless, they're healthy, they're natural. The biggest success for anybody who is struggling at the moment with bothersome tinnitus is to shift our relationship to it, which is the emotional piece. I remember even, and that's the same for anything, whether it's panic, anxiety, vertigo, dizziness, chronic pain, depression. When we shift our relationship to some of those deeply uncomfortable sensory patterns, which is what they are, those sensory patterns coming through the body, when we shift our relationship to them, the safety signals in the brain change. When we're consciously shifting our relationship to them, we get more safety signals because we're in control of the process. When we're not consciously shifting our relationship and we have lots of catastrophe, drama, hatred, annoyance, and frustration building, we're not in control and we get lots of danger data signals building in the body and the brain. So it's really important to look at what can I control and what can't I control. I don't believe it's possible to go to a doctor or a physiotherapist or a psychologist and expect them to give you these safety data. It's something that we cultivate for ourselves. It's an internal adjustment to our neurological system. It's not something that you, let's say you come and see me for a private session. I don't go in with tweezers and start moving your synapses around or, implanting safety data. That's not possible. But I do help people access more of this safety information inside, outside, and I do help them soften some of the neural rigidity so neural maps can be built. So it's all reversible. You probably have much more control over this than you're aware. But if we don't know how to understand the brain, if we don't have background in neuroscience, if we don't understand our neurotype, which means if you don't understand your brain and body, you can get stuck. And that makes sense. And that's really, really understandable. And nobody's done anything wrong. I would say from a scientific point of view, this is all still relatively new. There are lots and lots of health professionals out there who have never used neuroplasticity consciously themselves and they don't know how it works. So there's still a lot of health professionals out there who would be a little bit lost at sea with this stuff. I happen to be very, very interested in this because I think I've had both tinnitus, vertigo, dizziness, anxiety, depression. I've had some pretty deep, dark times in my life. I've been suicidal many times, very, very dark. And so I've had interest in looking at what I can do to shift things, to move with the intensity of my physical, mental, emotional, spiritual world. I've been motivated to really study this using both the East and West, the yoga, the mindfulness, the meditation, as well as the neuroscience, the physiology, all of that. So this comes up a lot. Someone just popped in. Drugs prescribed for anxiety, do they inhibit the ability to practice neuroplasticity or give a false sense of calm and safety? Not sure if I've explained. I'm really hesitant to make any absolute comments because every single person is different. What I will say is if you can't sleep, you can't concentrate, you're just completely disconnected to your experience, both in yourself and in the world, and any form of medical intervention helps you to sleep better, concentrate, and feel yourself more. Well, then the drugs are actually taking you in the direction of neuroplasticity. In order to use neuroplasticity, we have to be able to gently direct our attention inwards and body scan at least a little bit. And for some people, that will literally be 5 seconds because it's so confronting. But we have to learn how to build our tolerance, our window of tolerance to feel and sense in the body. And my understanding is we have trillions of neural synapses and they are giving us our sensory information, all of it. They're giving us our sounds, our movement, our stability, heat, cold, hunger. But our neural synapses are also transmitting our thoughts, our ideas, our fears, images, memories, dreams, right? So all of it, the mental, emotional, spiritual, is traveling through our nervous system. Part of making sense of ourselves, and that's what healing is. In my opinion, a person who quote unquote feels healed understands what they feel. It makes sense. So if I feel like there's a tornado in my body and I know I've just given birth, I know I'm full of hormones, I know I'm postpartum and vulnerable and it makes sense, I'm not worried about it because I'm like, yeah, I haven't slept very well, I'm exhausted, and I'm at a transitional time in my life. This makes sense that I would feel a tornado within me. So, when things make sense, the body can rearrange itself and undergo neuroplasticity and come back to a sense of what quote unquote normal, which means that I'm sensing and feeling what I think I should sense and feel. When our inner world does not make sense and we're constantly getting these twerks and jerks and images and flashbacks and emotions and sensations that don't make sense, we may fight, flight, freeze, fawn, leave our body, and then we end up sort of existing in our heads, in our shoulds, operating in the world without connecting to our body. So the information, the brain body, which is connected, it's the same thing, the mind is in the body. If we're disconnected to our felt sense, to our embodied intuition, to our inner world, we don't get time to reorganize, to digest, to declutter, to actually make peace with our lived experience. So, as the days, the weeks, and the months clock over, we get this accumulation of undigested experience. And I get a lot of people, and like, raise your hand if you relate to this. I get a lot of people who reach 40, 50, 60, and they're like, I've had a really good life. I don't get sick very often. I'm not stressed. I look after myself. And suddenly I go on a holiday, and bam. Tinnitus, vertigo, stressed, anxious, panicking, and something just totally changes their system. And I think what happens is we go through this transitional life change in our later years where the body says, I can't store anymore. I have been cluttering and accumulating undigested life experience where the mind and the body have disconnected and not completed feeling through the days. Lived experience, and the body's actually saying, I need to release this now. I need to process. I need to reconnect. So, what I'm saying is, when our mind and our body come together to have that pause and that non-doing, where we're not taking in extra data, we're actually processing the data that's inside of us and we're releasing it. With that decluttering process, we empty ourselves, we create space. We begin to make sense of who we are and what we feel, and then we can also use the rock steady process to effectively build those new neural pathways that we want to feel. So I'll just repeat that. When we're full of undigested life experience, which personally I think we all are, you know, myself included, life's very intense and full on politically, environmentally. So there's a lot coming in. As a way of life and as hygiene, I think we all need to have a way to digest and declutter daily. Declutter in order to create space so we don't have neurons holding on to the day's story. They free up and then we can actually consciously seek our safety, our comfort, our ground, and create neural maps that feel centered, feel clarity, feel peaceful, feel calm, feel confident. And those desired neural maps that we're building in Rocksteady to harness, to focus on, to strengthen, they with time actually begin to override the symptom pathway. So the symptom pathways are no longer dominant. They're no longer front and center. They become deprioritized. And indeed, I actually think some of the symptom pathways declutter as we process the memories, the intuitions, the undigested life experience. So we're decluttering and then we're creating the new neural maps that we actually want to feel that's age appropriate. Yeah, all right. Sorry I can't keep up with the chat box so much. It'll be a little bit tricky for me to answer too many private therapy style questions in the context of a group call. Should we evade or feel tinnitus? I've actually already answered that, but I'll say it again. Your symptoms, actually, are they symptoms or are they sensations? So whenever people enter the Rocksteady community, I immediately suggest that they car park the word symptom. Just put it aside, recognize that it's there, but not to use it or buy into it. The minute we call our bodily sensations symptoms, we're judging them, we're creating a bias, and we're planting a story that I should get rid of them. Like by definition, a symptom is something you don't want. So let's just take that language and put it aside for a moment. What changes if we call what we feel a sensation? You know, if I say I'm experiencing a purple tornado at the moment, it has a different quality to saying I have another vertigo attack. I hate these symptoms. A purple tornado invites a level of curiosity. It makes me think, I wonder what my body's processing right now. I wonder what my body's decluttering right now. When we have sensations and we welcome the experience in, we allow our mind and body to connect to the process and give it that processing time to reorganize itself, to clear through the traffic jams, to build new highways. And the mind and the body are working together, which is what we need. So to an extent, yes, we do want to feel through the tinnitus or the dizziness, but it's 1% of who you are, or even a millionth of who you are. There's so much more to sense and feel. So we don't want to just feel tinnitus. We want to wiggle our toes. We want to feel the arches of our feet. We want to feel the sway of our hips. We want to feel our dreams, our desires. We want to go right into the inner world and feel all of us as a multidimensional being. You know, you are not your tinnitus. You're not this 2D word written on paper. So yes, we want to connect to it and feel of it, and then we want to keep feeling more of who we are. So keep going. What else? What else? What else? I'm going to open up my screen. I probably won't be able to read too much of the chat box. So I've got my screen on here. I've got a question about tapping. So tapping is something we do go through in the Rocksteady program, and I introduce tapping because it is a great way for decluttering. And you can do this right now if you want, whenever you're touching, using your touch system, and you're actively noticing what you're sensing and feeling. So if you were to just begin to notice the hand that's touching, notice the sense and the feel on those nerve endings. There's so many nerve endings in our hands. We change a different part of the brain that's active. We start to activate the somatosensory touch reception. When we're in touch, we're present. You can't physically get your finger and touch yourself yesterday, right? It's just not physically possible. You can't get your finger and touch tomorrow. So whenever you're engaged in touch, you know that you're present. And that is very, very powerful because your neurons, your synapses only fire and wire in the now. It's a completely present process. It's anchored in the art of presence. Most of us, myself included, are jumping between the past and the future all the time. We're not really present. So having many, many different strategies, such as the body scan and tapping, to keep us coming back into the present and going, hey, what's actually going on for me right now? How can I support my body right now? Added onto the tapping process, aside from touch, and we're activating areas that help to calm and soothe the nervous system. So part of it's about where we're tapping the system. But we're also speaking aloud. And the question is, do I have to tap about limiting beliefs? So I invite people in the program to look at their limiting beliefs, things like, I can't heal, I don't get this, I've been told there's no cure, I hate my body, I don't trust my body. So they're examples of limiting beliefs. And the question is, should I always end tapping with helpful thoughts? My recommendation with tapping is that it's a pure stream of consciousness, which means you are receiving the thoughts. The thoughts are dropping in, you notice them, and you express them aloud, a little bit like journaling, but you're speaking it aloud. So it's a way of organizing your mental space, it's a way of decluttering. What I notice, and everybody is different because we're all beautifully different and born with different brains, different bodies, different neural arrangements. I notice that if I really go into this with authenticity and I really let out whatever is up there, and it can be wild and crazy what's going on in our minds, it doesn't necessarily mean it's truthful, helpful, accurate, scientific. Any kind of rubbish can get up there, and it's really helpful to see it and let it out. After I do a good, authentic decluttering, I will notice that instinctively more helpful, useful, or wise thoughts rebound. So if I'm going through a very, very low suicidal moment and I'm like, oh my God, I just don't belong on this planet. I don't belong on this planet. For me, anyway, quite naturally, another voice will kick in. That's my wise voice. It's my higher self, perhaps. It's the part of me that's grounded and connected. And that voice will start speaking. So it's almost like they work together. I'll have a dramatic catastrophe voice that's perhaps more critical, perhaps a younger version of me. And so I make space for that. I welcome it. I give it air, no judgment. And in fact, just so you're aware, accessing suicidal lows is really, really common and normal. It's only a problem if somebody were to act upon it and actually try and hurt themselves. So experiencing very low emotions and unpleasant, low suicidal type thoughts is 100% welcome. We're all human, and sometimes that takes us to very deep and low places. So to answer the question, it's whatever arises. And what can happen if we do have chronic worries and thoughts on loop, such as I'm not good enough, I don't trust myself. The more we speak that aloud, write it down, witness it, hear it. Sometimes I invite people to talk into their phone, record themselves, and actually listen to it. By getting that repetition, the brain starts to change things because it gets bored of that story. The brain is always wanting novelty for growth. It's part of our happiness equation. So when we get bored of ourselves, the next narrative and the next story will naturally rebound. And you may notice because you're bringing kindness, awareness, and consciousness, because being non-judgmental and kind is the heart of the neuroplasticity process, because you're practicing bringing loving kindness towards yourself, the chances are that wisdom voice within you, your higher self, your grounded loving self, that voice will begin to become louder. So more helpful ideas, beliefs, and thoughts are likely to be generated through you and by you organically. So you're not mimicking my words, you're not taking affirmations from a book. You're literally starting to hear your own inner wisdom through this process. All right, coming back to the questions. How do I keep myself from fixating on abnormal sensations or continually searching my body for abnormal sensations or feelings when I'm feeling good? And I would say that is a process of getting to know yourself. And as you go through the Rocksteady program, you'll be on an inquiry journey of learning how you access more of that those safety signals and your desired sensations. And once you get into a pattern, and I see this a lot over the years, once you get into a pattern of going, okay, I know how to ground myself. I really am starting to feel confident that I can ground myself no matter where I am, any time of day, any country, anywhere. It becomes addictive. You want to feel grounded. It feels good. So you start to get this self-reinforcing loop that you're embodying and genuinely feeling grounded more often because you can and because you choose to. And the more you feel it, the more you want to choose it. So I think it's not a mental process. You're not telling yourself, oh, Joey, you should wiggle your toes. You should. It's actually more, I start to receive the signals from my feet. So it becomes an embodied process, not a heady, mentalized process. And I would say if people are getting very stuck in worry patterns, thought patterns, symptom loops that they're operating up in the head and they're not accessing the wisdom of the body yet. Next question. This one's talking about childhood trauma. And the question, my question is it necessary to recall an incident from my childhood that I don't remember, but I know that something happened that caused shock and fear in me, that it's related to my symptoms, and it happened probably before the age of 4? So there is a lot of there is a link between trauma and chronic symptoms. And a little bit like I said earlier, it's like when we're either busy or stressed and don't have time throughout the day, we don't always process what we're feeling. We sort of car park it to the side and we don't complete feeling through whatever happened. That's as an adult. As children, sometimes we have very difficult confronting traumatic events. We don't have the skills to feel through it. We don't actually know how to regulate ourselves. We don't know what to do with emotions like guilt or anger or resentment, etc. So sometimes there will be accumulated car parked stories within our body that we haven't yet processed. When they accumulate to a point that the body can no longer tolerate, store, or hold anymore because the body's full, it's got no more space, I believe that's when we somatize and that's when we get symptoms. And for the people in our community, it's probably the variety of tinnitus, dizziness, and vertigo. So, this decluttering process and feeling what the body is wanting to complete is a really important part. So, there is a lot of trauma digestion. You don't need to look for your memories. You don't need to go and revisit a memory. I'll try and give a concrete example. But let's say I was pushed away by my parents all the time and I felt shut out and rejected frequently. I don't have to go through every single memory of when my parents did that to me or abandoned me. But if I can access the general feeling tone in my body. So my neurological body's holding the feeling tone memory of feeling shut out, rejected, abandoned, pushed aside, stifled, forgotten. If I can give that a color and a shape, and I might say it feels like a heavy black rock that's spiky, it's cutting, it's lacerating, it's sitting right here on my left collarbone. If I can access the feeling memory in my body, I can talk to it, I can relate to it, I can hold it in loving awareness, and you will you get to hear all these call replays when you buy the program and become a member. You will see many, many examples of people going through this process, decluttering and processing old memories through the feeling body, so they're not talking about any of their private details, or very few, if any, and they're able to actually shift that black hot coal lacerating feeling out of their body. They breathe it out, they release it. Because remember, feelings are not muscles and bones. They're not atomic material structure. Feelings are this ephemeral and movable, unseen, invisible quality that affect our physical body and come in and move. They shift and change. Emotions are moving. Life force is moving, aliveness is moving. So, what we want is to address any stuckness, any places in the body where the life force is not able to flow with as much vitality. And our feeling body, our interoception, our emotional body is likely to take us to those parts of our body and help us release and unblock. Can almost think of it as like an internal massage, and your mind is massaging the body by bringing loving awareness and loving kindness. So I hope that answered the question, but trauma is very, very relevant. It's very, very welcome. It's not necessarily a talk therapy process. We're being guided by the wisdom of the body, and we're using language such as texture, color, feeling language, artistic language, and that's deliberate to keep this, to keep the curiosity, to keep the felt presence connection, and to keep the safety data. If you think about it, if we were to go into some of those very triggering and traumatic early experiences, it's possible we end up back in the threat response with lots of danger, and we just, that's not helpful. So you absolutely do not need to do that. And there are ways to really gently work around it. Having said that, if at any point in time you are body scanning and you do become triggered with threat response and memories or trauma flashbacks, that's very welcome. It's very normal. And that's also part of us learning to build our window of tolerance that when I go into these very panicky places and these edges of my comfort, can I bring loving kindness there? Can I expand my neurological experience to grow into that new place where I can panic and I can be loving and kind toward myself? I can collect safety data. I can body scan. I can feel where I'm comforted, where I'm grounded, where I'm safe beside the panic. So we're constantly expanding and growing. And that's the neurological basis. And you learn more about words like the window of tolerance and the nervous system within the program. Oh, this is an interesting one. Why can I have days that I do not hear my tinnitus at all, and then the next day it's back? It's almost like a pattern, a couple of really good days, a couple of rougher days, and then a couple of really good days and a couple of rougher days. How do I just let go no matter what kind of day you're having with your tinnitus? And I would say go through the Rocksteady program to answer that one. But I want to validate that is very common. Well, not very common, but I hear it a lot that people will say I'll have 3 good days and then a tinnitus day and 3 good days and a tinnitus day. And it's common that people say there's some kind of pattern. So I would be questioning whether there's a biological system at play, which is probably healthy and normal. Like maybe there's some kind of recycling of hormones or some biological cleanup process that is happening every second or third day. And it's literally a noisy process. So you're more aware of your inner activity in your body, and it's nothing to fight, it's nothing to worry about. And using all of the Rocksteady tools to remember that that tinnitus sound is one millionth of who you are. There's a lot of other signals you can focus on and get to know and be present with. So I hope that answered the question. Another question: do you have an explanation as to why dizziness intensely increases at night? Two explanations I would give, and of course, read my book. My book really speaks to this. One is if you have benign paroxysmal positional vertigo, BPPV, when we lay down, the actual gravity position of laying down can increase the movement of those Oticonia calcium particles in the fluid in the ear. So it can just be positional, which is treatable, reversible. It's mechanical, right? And as far as vertigo goes, that's the best condition to have because it is so treatable. I know when I had my vestibular migraine, and I would say I'm a candidate for triple PD. I think if I didn't have the educational background I had, I have all the personality traits that I think I would have become a triple PD. That would have been something that I would have got myself into. Because triple PD is when I believe it's when we have so many data signals that are traffic jammed that the body is just constantly in this push-pull scenario of juggling too many balance markers. There's a lot of threat signals and self-doubt and anxiety. And so for most of the day and night, there's this feeling of like a disco inside the head or the brain or the body. And it's exhausting, it's fatiguing, it's brain fog, it's hard to describe. But that can also be worse at night. So the dizziness signals can be more intense at night for vestibular migraine or triple PD people because that's when we finally let go. That's when we finally stop distracting ourselves by doing life. And that's when the neurons are finally able to start going, holy moly, I need to sort this out. It's like they're not juggling 10 balls, they're juggling 10,000 balls. So there's all these neural synapses and traffic jams that when we lay down and the body can finally have that pause, it just goes into action stations. So I would celebrate that feeling, even though it can feel intensely drunken. That could actually be a sign that your body's finally trying to rearrange its maps. And the Rocksteady program gives you ways to implement more pause, more processing time, and also this concept of understanding your brain and body so throughout the day you don't need to distract or push through. How can we live gently? How can we live in alignment with what our body is willing to process instead of forcing our body to do everything all day? Pick up the kids, cook dinner, do this, do that. What if our body's actually saying, I don't feel like doing that today? I don't have the energy or the desire to do that today. How do we learn to pace ourselves and be more gentle according to our sensory loading, our executive function, our neurotype? Same goes in the morning. Someone just said, why is, and we go into repair mode. So the neurological system is more awake, alert, sympathetic during the day because we want to be able to get up and move and problem solve and this and that. But at nighttime, we go into repair, rest and repair, rest, digest, repair. And so that's very important, obviously. That's when our neural maps reorganize themselves. We replenish. Many cells within the body are dying and being replaced. So from a biological repair point of view, it's a very noisy process. There is a lot going on. You're basically in factory mode. And some of us are so sensitive that we're super aware of that sound within our body. So I can probably hear that noise at nighttime if I choose to tune into it. I don't tend to choose to listen to my body noise, so I'm not aware of it. Whatever we focus on becomes more salient. So if I want to hear my tinnitus, I could literally close my eyes right now, go in and hear my body sounds because they're always in there. Your body is making noise. It's just a normal phenomenon. So I could activate my tinnitus sounds, bring them to the forefront, tell my brain to fire more of those neurons, and I can make it louder or I can make it softer. So I'm in control. Rocksteady will give you the skills and tools to navigate that for yourself. Somebody just made a comment saying sometimes it feels like my triple PD or my persistent sensations are like a nervous breakdown. And I think that's a very reasonable comment. We could also say it's a breakthrough that the neurological system, the brain and body, is actually not saying you're broken, you're not working. It's probably saying the way you're living in the world is not working. The person environment fit is not nourishing. We need to change relationships. We need to change the way we're working. We need to change the way we're sleeping. We need to change the way we're relating to the world. And once we get that alignment, so we're living in flow with who we are and how we live in the world and how we honor ourselves. Instead of be the person everybody else tells us to be. Once we come back into that authenticity and we unmask, we stop pushing through and pretending, the neurons are happy. The maps go back to their happy, buzzing, optimal firing rate. So sometimes I think it's an almighty reality slap that really helps us become the next version of ourselves. Cheryl, I have a few questions after reading your book. I have confusion about seeking wisdom from the body and not paying attention to the tinnitus. If I seek wisdom from the tinnitus, aren't I focusing on it? It's a little bit like the smoke and the fire. So if the house is on fire, are you going to sit there analyzing the smoke? I would say the tinnitus is like the smoke. So when we are heeding the wisdom of the tinnitus, we're actually looking underneath it. We're not focusing on the tinnitus, we're focusing on the pattern that it's representing. So, for many people, a common example could be I am not putting myself first. I need to slow down and I need to start listening to myself. So, the tinnitus is over here, it's the smoke, but the fire is this belief that I have to prioritize everybody else. I need to put all of my needs aside and I need to cook, clean, taxi the kids. Work late, be successful, earn money. And in the process, I'm actually abandoning myself. I'm not taking care of myself physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So the tinnitus is all the way over there, and it's just calling us in to really deeply listen to the needs of the body and to get really authentic and honest with ourselves. So you're not going to get very far if you're just focusing on tinnitus, because the tinnitus doesn't have the information. It's the pattern underneath the tinnitus that's in the body. So we want to get out of that hyper focus on the localization of the pain. And we want to get into the body, head to toe, scanning. As you body scan, those intuitions come up. You know, it's funny. Like when people go into this process and they learn to listen to the wisdom of their body, usually the message that comes through is very familiar. It doesn't surprise them, but it's a nice homecoming. So I hope that clarifies it. Can this information be transferred to chronic insomnia? Absolutely. So anything, chronic pain, arthritis, bladder issues, pelvic issues, people come into Rocksteady and they're like, Joey, my marriage has improved. So, any kind of discomfort or pain point, your body will be holding wisdom. And as you body scan and go through the Rocksteady process, you'll get the wisdom of what the body is telling you and informing you. If I put it this way, the body is our vehicle. It is what houses our inner world, and it's what allows us to relate to the outer world. Our nervous system is literally collecting data all the time, trillions and trillions and trillions of data points, and it's teaching us how to best function in the world and how to best take care of ourselves. If we're living in our head doing what we're told, we're not getting that data. We're literally missing all of this complexity that is housed in the body. It's like a library or a computer. So we're learning how to go into the body, collect that data, use that data discerningly, and function best both in how we take care of ourselves and our actual authentic needs, which nobody else knows. Only we know that. And we learn to function better to be in relationship with the outer world, to make sure we have strong boundaries, to make sure that we're doing what we feel soulfully aligned to do, and to make sure that we're constantly coming back to this sense of pleasure and desired sensation. When we're in joy and recreation and pleasure and relaxation and ease, that's when we're on track. Like, a lot of people feel like life is hard and you've got to push through and you've got to organize and you've got to micromanage, when the Rocksteady way of life is actually make it effortless. Allow it to come to you. Allow it to come through you and anchor everything in these desired sensations that feel easy and easeful. It's a very big transition to go from pain and struggle and micromanaging to surrender, acceptance, and flow, but that is the journey we're all on. And my personal reflection is that it gets easier with time and with practice and repetition. And basically, we learn to trust the body. And I've gotten to a point in my life now where my reflex is to go in, collect the data, respect my body, reflect inwards, gather that information, and then go back out into the world. And things just flow so differently and so easily because there's no resistance, there's no analysis, there's no catastrophe. And I finally moved through a lot of that self-doubt, and I was absolutely riddled with self-doubt. Next question. I have complex PTSD. Does all of your information apply to me? Absolutely. And I would say I personally have PTSD as well, history of trauma, neurodivergence, lots of different things. And the Rocksteady process was what brought me home to myself. This is not a process of external expert or external shoulds or prescriptions. This is a process of people coming in to feel their body, to make sense of what they're feeling, and to come out the other side of it with more clarity. It doesn't matter what your life story is, it doesn't matter if you're from a war-torn country. There's a lot that, I mean, I don't want to share people's stories, but we have a lot of people in our community who have medically complex issues, PTSD, and lots of trauma, and they are using Rocksteady to help them come home to their body, make sense of their body, and feel more clear in the moment. Would love to hear your thoughts on catastrophizing and ruminating. As I explore and notice my inner thought and trauma patterns, I found that throughout an average day, I spend way more time than I would like, either ruminating on the past or catastrophizing about scenarios in the future. I know I want to be more present, secure, less and less fearful of these thoughts. However, I get frustrated as I worry these patterns of thought are too ingrained. I would love to hear more of your understanding on catastrophizing and ruminating. Essentially, they're welcome. All of your thoughts are welcome. Some of us, by nature, in terms of how we're born, so this is coming into neurotype and neurodivergence, some people have more thoughts, literally. They will have hundreds more thoughts than the average person, and that's their normal. So you're not necessarily overthinking, you're not necessarily overcomplicating things. It's just that humans are beautifully complex. The more intelligent you are, the more sensitive you are, the more neurologically active you are by nature, you can't change that. It's the way you're born. The more thoughts you will experience. So, first of all, don't compare yourself to anybody else. All thoughts welcome. Once we learn the skills of really coming home to the body, trusting the body and body scanning, we do move out of thoughts. It's a natural process. So I would say go through the rock steady process. The decluttering is really helpful. There's lots of tricks, tools, strategies, guidance, support in the program itself about decluttering, understanding thoughts, making sense of them. But what we don't want to do is fight them, resist them, wrong them, judge them. They're all welcome. There is no judgment. We want to hold a loving kindness space and stay anchored in the body. The other thing is every month in the program for members, I hold a grief and soul tending circle. They're 2 hours, they're unrecorded, they're confidential, and they're places to be in the tribe, to be socially witnessed, to be vulnerable, real, and to release some of those catastrophes and ruminations, to speak them aloud, to offer them to the world. And you're heard, you're received. In that grief and soul tending circle, we're not only learning how to share and be authentic and be seen as we're doing that, which is, quite vulnerable. It's a skill to build, to be vulnerable, to be witnessed. But as you're in circle with other people, you're learning how to hear their stories and to body scan and release their stories. So we're learning how to not hold on to other people's stuff. So we practice our boundaries actively in the Rocksteady community. And those are the kind of skills that are absolutely life-changing. Does anybody at this point from the Rocksteady program, Victoria, I can see you on my screen. I'm not picking you out, but your face is right there. Does anybody from the Rocksteady program want to speak a little bit about joining the monthly circles or live group calls? Let me just check if I need to. Can you unmute yourself or do you need my help? There we go.
Yes, you mentioned the grief and soul tending circles. Both those and the monthly calls, I think, are so helpful. You mentioned getting safety signals into your body, and every time I attend one of those, I just feel so much calmer, so much safer. I feel understood. It makes me much less fearful of my sensations. I just look forward to it so much.
Yeah, and I do too. Yeah, and the reason I host the Soul and Grief Tending Circle is because as a space holder and as the person kind of holding people's stories, I was noticing that the people who get stuck in this process are not stuck because they're not trying. They're trying. They're body scanning. They're focusing on their desired sensations. They're like, Joey, I'm meeting with friends. I'm going for coffee. I'm doing everything. I'm trying to fire my calm. And I'm like, you're not releasing. So we needed to have a space where people could practice decluttering and releasing, because if we're so full of trauma and undigested life experience, there's no space for the new neural pathways to form. So we have to literally learn how to process and release. And I think being witnessed, and maybe Victoria, you can speak to that yourself, but it makes a difference being witnessed. It's lovely to do journal writing and have our personal process or even see a therapist. There's something different to sitting in a circle of peers and listening to each other and releasing together. Did you want to add something to that, Victoria?
Yes, I mean it's just very healing to me, even after like the grief and soul tending, especially just the whole rest of the day and night. I feel calm. I feel connected to all the other people who shared, and it is just a feeling more of safety. I mean, like you mentioned in the beginning, so many times when I first started this, I was so afraid of my sensations, always fighting them, always wanting them to go away. And all the calls, just I mean, just even listening to the videos again and your soft, calm, soothing voice, all of that has just helped me to not be afraid so much and just kind of talk to my body and go, boy, you seem a little unnerved today. You know, what's going on? And then I really listen to myself and I ground myself, and the sensation of fear goes way down when I do that. And so it's just a matter of every day applying skills. And some days are more challenging than others. And then I just try to accept that and not fight it.
Thank you so much, Victoria. Robin, did you want to speak as well? I could just see you pop in there to the chat box. It's nice to hear from people more than me, if you'd like to share. Just there she is. Welcome, Robin.
Can you hear me?
I can
Hi.
hear you.
Hi,
Yeah, I can
everybody.
hear you. Yeah.
I just have to reiterate exactly what Victoria said. I was in a really bad place for a long time. I've been suffering with chronic tinnitus and NQR and dizziness for over 6 years. I went to so many doctors. I had so many MRIs and tests, literally from head to toe. And I was misdiagnosed with an autoimmune disease. It was just a catastrophe until I read your book, Joey. And actually, I listened to the audiobook. And when I started listening to that, I just began to cry. I just couldn't get over it. It was like, you're just talking to me. This is me, you know? And so I immediately signed up for your program. And it's just been life-changing, absolutely life-changing. I still have my NQR. I still don't feel right, but it's okay. I just like Victoria, I was terrified. I didn't know what was wrong, and nobody was giving me answers. And I would sit in the chair all day and not move. It was just disastrous. But now I just had a birthday this weekend. I went for the first time. I live in New York, in the New York metropolitan area, and we went into Brooklyn, if you know Brooklyn at all, and met with my kids and went into a restaurant. It was the first time, aside from COVID, it's the first time that I've been in a restaurant in Brooklyn for 6 years. And I was so happy to be there with my kids and manage it. And, you know, we chatted and laughed and we went for ice cream. And I drove home, which took 1 hour and 10 minutes of traffic. It was the longest I'd driven in a year. And I'm so grateful. I can't. I've to the folks listening, I've probably said I'm so grateful to Joey 1,000 times on the Facebook group, and that's another wonderful place. Anytime I have a success, I go on there and I share it, and everybody's just so supportive. It's just a loving, wonderful space and community. The Grief and Soul Circle. It's just a remarkable experience, and I can't thank you enough, Joey, and to everybody that's in the Rocksteady community. I'm getting my life back, and I'm thrilled. So,
Thank you,
mwah.
Robin. Thank you.
Yep.
And I think it's also
And I think it's
important
also
to,
important
oh,
to
I'm echoing.
echoing.
Might need to mute
I
yourself,
need to mute
Robin. We'll see
yourself.
if that helps. Thank you. Thank you. And thanks for sharing. It's really precious to hear real stories. But just a reminder, and this was a really, I'm writing my second book at the minute, and what this book really made more clear is to me is let's say I'm in a cafe And my body, my nervous system is picking up on danger signals, threat signals. You know, maybe there's incoherence in the cafe, or there's angry emotions, or there's lots and lots of noise and clutter that my body is saying, this feels like a threat. It's too much sensory loading for my brain and body. So going into that cafe is eliciting a not quite right, an NQR feeling for me. So there could be that potential for going down the rabbit hole of symptoms. What's wrong with me? It's just a cafe. You know, I'm wrong. I'm bad. I've got symptoms. When actually, when you look at it through the rock steady lens, it makes perfect sense that if I'm walking into an environment, so I'm fine, there's nothing wrong with me. But if I walk into an environment that is not feeling safe to me, that is not nourishing or nurturing my brain and my body, it makes sense that my brain and body say, hey, Joey, this is not a good environment for you. I'm recommending that you leave, or that you put on in your earbuds, or that you body scan right now. Like, my body will start giving me skills and tools to moderate the person environment fit. And coming back again to neurodivergence, so anybody who identifies as having a different type of wired brain, we're living in a neuronormative and neurotypical world. So the world is made for a certain brain body neurotype. And if you just happen to not be born with that, you're coming up against more person environment fits that are not quite right. There's nothing wrong with you. Your brain and body is perfectly fine. But more often, you may be noticing not quite right signals, because more often you're exposed to environments that are not nourishing for your system. And you know, that can be all sorts of types of danger signals, including being highly empathic, highly sensitive, picking up on injustices, picking up on racism, picking up on ageism, picking up on ableism. So wanting to advocate for justice, but feeling that you can't speak up because it's not okay, right? So there can be this push-pull of being a highly sensitive being, detecting some of the BS, some of the power imbalance and corruption and injustices that are swimming in our world, in our media, in our general societal, cultural, modern day environment. And our body might be actually thrumming and pulsing that this is not okay with me. I don't want to live in a world with power imbalance. I don't feel comfortable with injustice. So just notice the difference between feeling all of that sensory conflict in the body and going, I'm wrong, I'm bad, I need a doctor, versus feeling all of that sensory conflict in the body and going, there is racism in this restaurant. I'm not okay with that. So it's an outer world incoherence that my body is processing as data and I'm making sense of. So is that a clear example of how we're learning to read the wisdom of the body and the information within the body? And it's quite a dramatic paradigm shift, because I believe as a modern day society or world, we've really been trained to abnormalize ourselves and make ourselves fit the world that's been really designed hundreds of years ago, probably by white men. It doesn't suit us all. And so some of us are going, this doesn't feel right to me. Fair enough. So the Rocksteady program really gives you your power back to understand yourself, to make sense of your body, to learn about your beautiful brain and make the best of what you're born with. You can't be neuronormative if you're not born neuronormative. And by the way, experiencing vertigo and tinnitus is a type of neurodivergence, because it's not quote unquote neuronormative to experience persistent tinnitus, dizziness, or vertigo. So by default, even if you do identify as neurotypical, you may be having a neurodivergent temporary experience while you've got these persistent neural loops. Take a deep breath. I think somebody put in the chat box about superior canal dehiscence. You're very welcome. You're very suitable to the program. We've had lots of superior canal dehiscence people come through the Rocksteady program. Somebody says, why might the tinnitus get louder while I'm very relaxed and calm and in a safe environment? I've already answered that. When your body is in repair, digest, and rest mode, when you are most relaxed on a holiday, you are at your strongest and most grounded to process traumatic, decluttering experiences. So it's very, very common for people to go on a holiday and get sick. And it's because the body finally relaxes and then it goes through the backlog of all the undigested life experience that's been stored and accumulated and pushed aside. So I believe that when we get the increase in symptoms, it's a sign that the body's working, and we can trust that process, and we can use all of our Rocksteady tools to really capitalize on that decluttering process and get the most out of it so we can move through it efficiently and effectively. Great. So we've got 15 minutes left. Let me just check in. Pop in the chat box if anybody feels they want to speak live. Again, I'm really happy to hear from more Rocksteady members. Trevor, you just popped in. I don't know if you want to speak live or if you're needing to go. It's 8:15 a.m. here. Another question. I deal with chronic pain and pelvic pain. Do you address these issues? It's not about... The short answer is yes. So people who go through the Rocksteady program, they bring their whole body, they bring their whole person. So they bring all their aches and pains. We have people with lots of head, neck and shoulder pains, lots of insomnia, lots of depression, anxiety, isolation, loneliness, lots of chronic pain. And you are definitely not alone with pelvic pain. Basically, the way we're learning to bring loving kindness into the wisdom of the body, that's your whole body. So yes. Do I specifically talk about the anatomy of the pelvis? No. But you can bring all of your questions and experiences to our live group calls, and I'm very happy for the conversation to move in all directions because it's an incredibly holistic program. Next question. Please explain the connection between stomach, normally bodily functions, and my triple PD. When our symptoms are triggered and when we are afraid, how do we control the anxiety that it causes? Gosh, I feel like saying to that one, just go through the Rocksteady program. I feel like we learn how to ground and develop more of that safety data with practice because we learn our brain, we learn our body, we learn our nuance, we learn our personality type. We learn our triggers, we learn our comforts. But when, and I talk about this specifically in the program too, as tribal cavemen and cave women, some of our safety functions or protection mechanisms was, you know, you could be out hunting and gathering berries or eating meats. And if the body detects food poisoning, so bad bacteria, we either go into diarrhea or vomiting. And that's why we can have such an upset stomach after a job interview. Or if we're really nervous about driving in the car and worried about a vertigo attack, or if we're just worried about triple PD all day long and we're anxious about it because we don't feel in control of our body, part of that anxiety can go back into this tribal response of diarrhea or vomiting. So as we learn to anchor and ground and come back into the body, all of that has a chance to rest, digest, heal, declutter. We process the trauma, we process the fear, and we learn to live in a more loving, kind, friendly relationship with our body. And it doesn't end. Like, I've been practicing this now for many years. The Rocksteady program's about 10 years old. I built this about 10 years ago. And my experiments started probably 15 years ago. And the reality is it's normal to feel anxious. It's normal to feel that we lose control. It's normal to feel a wave of tinnitus, dizziness, vertigo, or pain. But now when that comes, I'm very quickly and rapidly able to envelop myself in loving kindness. I'm able to direct my attention inwards, to breathe through it, to feel through it. And my voice of wisdom that offers me helpful encouragement and suggestions is much, much louder. My voice of inner critic now is not very loud at all and not super present because I've reshaped my inner world to be much more heeding the wisdom of my nurturing self. And my inner critic is not cast away or not pushed away, but it's just gently held. And my inner critic doesn't need to be as active anymore, because I've digested, I've processed. So it's a I don't want to say it's a slow process, but it's a way of life. Just having a look. Somebody said, can you explain the program? Yes, I'm happy to do that. Yo, hello, Penny. Thanks for making that comment. Yeah, and I think it's really important. It's really important to come back to that thing of, am I? So Penny's made a comment, still living with it. And feel free to speak live if you want. We're kind of running out of time now. But am I viewing this as a symptom that I should get rid of? Therefore, I'm quote unquote living with it because it quote unquote shouldn't be there. Or am I living with a beautiful flow of bodily sensations that come and go every day? And every sensation is welcome. Every sensation offers me useful wisdom that I use to navigate my inner world and my outer world. So if I'm being mean to myself and abandoning myself, I'm likely to get some sensations that bring me home and say, no, Joey, I need kindness. So all of those sensations are not things I'm living with. They're things that are guiding me. They're my compass. So part of this is a philosophical shift to truly accept and love all of our bodily landscape, the sensory landscape. And, I think that is a huge process because, I mean, it's strong language, but I kind of feel that we're brainwashed in the modern day world to not trust the body, to not listen to the body, to not honor the body, and to live in our heads and do what we're told. It's a pretty strong brainwashing. And so we're undoing a lot of that and we're coming home to self-permission, sovereignty, self-authority, and deep radical trust in the intelligence of the body. So I'm thinking, I don't think I'm going to get through all of the questions at this point. Oh, there's not many left. And then I'll talk about the program. I read your book. I have not followed all the steps completely, says the person. I still struggle with tinnitus, and what I struggle with also is an unwanted sensation that I've never heard anyone talk about, or all the doctors I have seen can't figure out what it is. It's a sensation of electrical brain zaps. Yes, you're welcome. Yes, I've seen this, and yes, it's not uncommon. Some people describe their tinnitus as like a vibration that they feel in their body, and scientifically speaking, sound is a vibration, and neural pulses are electrical zaps. So some people are highly sensitive and have an intensified experience. So the language they use to describe things can be more on that intense end of the spectrum. But it's healthy, normal, and welcome. And there will be wisdom behind the electrical brain zaps. So we don't want to focus on the zaps. We want to focus on what's the pattern underneath that's agitating the zaps. So this person says they are worse in the morning when I wake up and when I'm stressed. Exactly. So there's a stress pattern for you to digest and declutter. It's part of my daily life. I wish I could speak to someone who could talk to me through this sensation. And you've been on my mind for quite some time. This would be something that you'd be very welcome to bring to a live group monthly call. The other thing to note is that all Rocksteady members are welcome to book one-on-one sessions with me if they wish and do deep listening sessions for 90 minutes to ask your questions, to sit in presence with me and to go deep into the wisdom of the body. So that is something I offer only to my Rocksteady members at this point in time. One last question. I think I've sort of already answered this. It's another one of those I have the pattern of tinnitus question where it's 3 days I hardly notice it, and the fourth day it's more annoying. So I think I've already addressed that. Yeah. For those of you who do choose to join the program, remember that you can bring questions to our live group calls. So the Rocksteady program, it's six modules. You do whatever you want, whenever you want. It's not cookie cutter. It's not prescriptive. My intention in building the Rocksteady program is for you to be able to come into your body, stay in your body, and make sense of your body. And for some people, that will be a very slow journey to learn how to come in and feel, because there has been so much fight, flight, freeze, fawn, and it's very difficult to stay in the body. So we have lots of tools, tricks, strategies, and support and encouragement to keep you gently redirecting your attention into the body, not living up in the mind, not in the thoughts, not in the to-do list, but literally feeling and sensing the body more often with more skills and tools. Each module gives you education. There's audios, there's videos, there's at-home exercises for you to try. And again, it's all about decluttering and releasing, building new desired neural networks that you want to strengthen to feel better. A little bit like I spoke about, we're learning to make a beautiful, welcoming home for our inner critic and our catastrophe and our drama. And we want to bring that home so that it doesn't need to scream at us anymore. And we want to make our inner wisdom and our helpful ideas and intuitions and thoughts louder. So we're learning to shift the seesaw of our inner world so that we have beautiful, encouraging, loving, kind wisdom at the forefront. And the dramatic, intense, catastrophic, critical voices, they come home inside of us where they belong, and we caretake for them. We look after them. So I don't know what else I want to say. So it's six modules. If there's things that don't feel right for you, you just pause them, try them another day. So you really pick and choose what you want. You're in complete control. It's self-authority, self-paced. And I highly invite you to join our monthly calls. We have the monthly Q&A call with your Rocksteady peers, just like today. We do practices together, etc. And we have the soul, grief and soul tending circle to be sacred, to meet, to be heard, to be held, to be seen, to be witnessed, to feel belonging. That is such a crucial part of collecting safety data. If we don't feel belonging, if at some level we feel that we can't actually be our real true self because we feel that society will reject us, that means we are carrying around a massive amount of threat and danger data all day long. So finding ways to actually feel belonging really shifts the neurology. It shifts that part of our brain that is tribal and seeking belonging as safety. So that's what I hope the Rocksteady community will be able to give you all in new and varied ways. You also get the access to a new private Rocksteady Hub group where there's you share on what you want. You can ask about the program. You can share your challenges, your vulnerabilities. It's a much more safely held group. The wider free Vertigo and Tinnitus group has like over 7,000 members. The smaller private Rocksteady Hub group has under 300 members. So it's a rich place for sharing your process, asking questions, connecting, finding like-minded people. I think that's everything I want to say. Any questions on the program? And is any other Rocksteady members here live who would like to speak? The purpose of journaling would be decluttering, so helping to process and digest any undigested life experience, but also just organizing the mental chaos. Some people will have a lot of messy, unorganized thoughts that are beginning to cloud and result in brain fog. So having strategies to literally clear the mental landscape and release the mental clutter is very insightful, and you might find some wisdom. So there could be heaps of unuseful, junky brain clutter, just repetitive thoughts that are not helpful, not meaningful, not true, not accurate. But in your journaling somewhere might be some absolute wisdom that you may not access if you don't clear the clutter first. So that's one reason to journal. My pleasure. This thank you's coming into the chat box. Yeah, great. Welcome from Israel. Welcome from all corners of the world. Robin said, journaling for me is to release whatever it is I'm feeling. It's a way to declutter and to reinforce affirmations and gratitudes. Oh, Trevor, yeah, come on live. So we might hear from Trevor, and then we may have to end the call.
Thanks, Joey. Nice to see everyone here. Really quickly, my name's Trevor. I'm from Australia. I was hit with some not quite right tinnitus experience about 8 weeks ago. I went on the I guess you can all relate, or many of you can relate, the frantic journey to what's this, what the hell's going on, what can I do? And I discovered Joey, and I ended up joining the Rocksteady program. I'm now into week four, and one thing I will say, what I really love about Joey's approach is, and definitely not paid to say this, but I do love that there's no pressure to do the modules, because I think a big part of me personally, why I've ended up with what I've been experiencing, and definitely on a healing journey, I've come a long way in a short space of time, is there is no pressure. You know, I'm very good at putting pressure on myself. So really having that space to just take your time, if it takes a year, whatever, that's been a real joyous experience for me, because I work in banking. Everything about my life can be pressure unless I now manage it, and that's been a big learning for me. And look, I know we're all in different spaces, but for me, I've come a long way in a very short space of time. But one thing that I have learned in the program is, excuse me, a little emotional this morning, not for being or feeling anything other than just to be able to be honored to share this with you, is that in the nicest way, that I found letting go of talking about sensations as opposed to now focusing on healing. And when it says daily practices, it means to do daily practices, not think about doing daily practices. So for me now, I have a I've been me, I've built a little checklist that I now just to keep myself in daily practices. What am I saying to myself? You know, remember to do my mindfulness, remember to do my body scans, remember to be really gentle with myself, remember to do a little bit of journaling. Again, not without pressure or tension, but just a bit like if we want to get fit, you go to the gym. You don't think about going to the gym. And this has been instrumental for me on my healing journey. If I was to say I was at a 10 on tinnitus, whatever we call it, sensations, you know, these days I'm probably hovering around a 2 to 3, which has been and I know we're all unique, and I'm not saying that that's anyone else's journey, but, and at times zero. So for me, yesterday though, had a bit of a spike, had maybe a bit too much caffeine, was in the office. So last night was a lot about just coming back to myself. I'm on a journey. I'm sure for whatever reason, I've got some ways, but it is a beautiful program. It's helping me a lot. And I just want to say thank you, Joey. It's great to know there's people like yourself out there to help us.
Yeah, thank you, Trevor. It's really rich to hear people's voices. Does anybody else feel that they want to speak live? Romana, I just realized you've had your hand up. Sorry about that. Did you want to speak live, or is it an accident? You can let me know in the chat box if you would like to come on live. Or you can go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi, sorry,
Hi.
can you hear me?
I can.
Hi, sorry. It's a pleasure to meet you. I know it's over Zoom, but I'm from London. I'm trying to get my video to come on.
There you go.
Okay, that's better. Yeah. I just wanted to say thank you to you and all the wonderful people that have been listening, because it's like my new family. I work in a nursing home, and they're my family, all my residents. And now I have another family, and I'm going to get tearful. I was feeling very lonely and isolated because I live alone. But now I feel like a very rich person, because I've got another new family that I will think of and pray for. And I think together you become stronger, and you feel safer, and you have someone to mentor you like yourself, who you're amazing. You are absolutely amazing. I honestly want to say thank you from my heart for everything you've done. I've not been doing the program for long, because I got tinnitus in January on my birthday of all days. And I think that was due to my mother having a stroke. I lost my only companions, which was my cat and dog last year, which were my babies, because my children are grown up and far away. Then I had a car accident, a procedure that went wrong, and then bang, the tinnitus took over. But thanks to you, I've understood so much. I just say it's annoying, but it's not scary. And I'm keeping busy, a little bit frantically. I know that's the wrong way to go about it, but it's my personality. I've always been anxious, but I'm working on that. I'm working on trying to do things in a more mindful way. But thank you so much to all of you, and especially you, Joey, from my heart. Yeah,
thank
I think
you,
you're wonderful. You're wonderful, what you're doing for all of us. And for the years to come, that you'll be helping people. Thank you.
Thank you. We're all wonderful. We're all beautifully diverse, and that's what makes us ecologically sound. We need to be different. And, you know, just coming back, that was a beautiful example, Romana, of the accumulated, undigested life experience. You know, a parent having a stroke, loss of loved fur friends. You know, it's massive to lose pets, such a deep grief, and learning to actually feel that and declutter that is a process. And in the modern day
it's
world,
taking a while.
In the modern
it's taking
day world,
a long time.
We often close down and push through. So we need spaces to process our children growing up and leaving the house, to process, process, process. And the body is so intelligent that when there's an accumulation of undigested life experience, it'll start telling us, it'll knock on the door and scream at us, and it'll call us in. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's healthy. It's teaching us to come back into the body, listen to the wisdom of the body, realign our lives, prioritize ourselves, and come home to who we are. So it's a really beautiful thing for you to share. So thank you, Romana. The
My
other
pleasure.
thing with going from, I might just mute you there, Romana. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sorry. How long was I on mute for? I just said, have I covered everything? Any last questions? I'm not sure. I was talking about when we go from deep catastrophe and hatred, frustration of the sounds or the pain or the dizziness, and we move into annoyance. That's progress. And eventually we're moving towards deep loving acceptance and awareness that there's wisdom in the bodily sensations. So we might start with a relationship based on deep hatred and fear, and throughout the Rocksteady process, and it's such a deep, complex, multi-layered process, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, we shift that relationship into genuine, authentic, loving awareness, acceptance, and connection to the wisdom that our bodily sensations are giving us. So Romana just gave a really nice example of moving from that fear and hatred toward annoyance, and that's moving us in that direction. Great. So I think that brings us towards the end of our call. Thank you so much to everybody who spoke live. It's really, really lovely to meet you, to hear from you all, to meet new faces. You'll receive emails from me shortly. If you've got any questions about joining the Rocksteady program, email in. You can book a 15-minute call with me if you want to meet me and just double check that it's the right program for you. And I just hope that you find yourself and you make sense of what you're feeling. That's my goal, not just for everybody on this call, but for everybody in the world. I think as a world, if we understood ourselves, and if we were able to stay present in our bodies more often and make sense of what we feel, that the world would be more peaceful and that we wouldn't be chasing our tails, buying stuff, hurting the planet, and contributing to ecological distress. This is very political for me. I believe we need to come home to our bodies. We need to listen to the call of our bodily sensations and we need to come back into inner peace so we can live with outer peace, the inner outer. So on that note, much love, all the best. I hope many of you join our Rocksteady program and become part of our community. You belong here. All sensations welcome. I believe this path is very, very powerful. So it's a little bye for now and a much love, everybody. Thank you so much for your time and presence.